the Ark of the Covenant, and God has prepared something great for us today. Amen. And let's just relax in God's presence and partake of the things that He has prepared for us today. Amen. And just before we go into the teaching, I'd like to show you what we are going to be doing today, very quickly in a nutshell. Hallelujah. So today we are here to share on the Ark of the Covenant, and we are going to be tracing through the Bible where the concept of an ark was employed. Hallelujah. And if you go through your Bible, you will discover that the word ark was used and across the entire Bible 199 times. So if a word is used 199 times in the Bible, then definitely it is significant. It is something that is worth looking into and something that is worth studying. Hallelujah. So through the Bible, we are going to go through four of these. Noah's Ark. I mean, that was specifically referred to as an ark. Then we're going to go through baby Moses' ark. I called it baby Moses' ark because it was a baby, was the baby Moses that was put in that ark. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, we're going to go through Joseph's coffin, the significance of it. The significance of Joseph's coffin. In the Bible, I think it's about Joseph that we know of who died and said that he should not be buried, and that he should be preserved, and that when they are going, they should take his bones along. Hallelujah. And that also had a significance that we're going to be looking into. And in fact, some of the Hebrew words used for the ark previously, before you get to that point, were also used for Joseph's coffin as well. So we're going to be studying the significance of that. And then lastly, we're going to be looking at the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was something that God instructed the children of Israel to put together, to construct. And He gave them the exact design of what they should construct. He gave them the exact design. He made the specifications, and He asked them to construct it. So we call it the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, not only was it constructed, it was filled with three things: the tables of the covenant, the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. And we're going to be looking at the spiritual significance of all these three items. Hallelujah. And we're going to definitely, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation is here, and we're going to be seeing things from God's word that will open the eyes of our understanding, that cause the eyes of our understanding to be opened, and will cause us to see conviction in, from God's word, in the steps that we are going to take. You know, conviction in God's word, in the steps that we're going to take in life. And also we'll see the relevance of the ark, why God asked people to build an ark right from the days of Noah, and what it stood for. Hallelujah. So those are the four areas we'll be looking at throughout the whole of today. So I'll just keep the slide on Noah's ark, and then we start. Hallelujah. Now, why did we title this teaching or this seminar the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant. There was a reason, and we'll find that reason from the very first mention of an ark. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6 verse 14. Genesis chapter 6 verse 14. Genesis 6 14. Alright, it says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and pitch it within, and without with pitch. And this is the fashion. So God was giving a design here. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories. Thou shalt make it. So there are going to be three floors within the ark. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Now, note the times there. There's something about God. When he speaks and he uses words, they all have a significance. He said he was going to destroy all flesh. Now, when he made that statement and was talking to Noah, he didn't say to Noah that I will destroy all flesh but minus you. He said, I will destroy all flesh. So God set out to destroy all flesh. But he told Noah, build an ark. So we see here that the calamity that was coming, the devastation that was coming, was universal. And why was that devastation coming? If you read earlier in that chapter, you will find that God, Bible says that God repented, as in he was angry with the behavior of mankind, and he was going to release judgment upon the entire earth. So let's look at it this way: the whole earth had messed up, and he was going to destroy all flesh. And then we'll just read on from there. Then he goes on to say, wherein is the breath of life? So all flesh there not only included human beings, but also included animals, living things, and birds. And then he went on to say, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So we see here that God gave Noah an advanced warning. God told Noah a preview of coming attractions. What was the coming attractions? There was going to be destruction all over the world. God gave him a preview that, look, this is what I am going to do. But not only did God give him that preview, God also gave him a strategy, something that he was going to do so that he will not be a part of that devastation. Hallelujah. And prophetically, that is what's going on. Things are happening today that are of a universal nature. Some years back, some people felt that there were some areas that things could not touch. I remember in 2008, when the banking crisis started, the head of one bank in America said that we survived the Great Depression in the 20s. Now, during the Great Depression, people will be coming back from work over a bridge and they will jump into the river because of frustration. It was commonly known that people committed suicide like no man's business. It was terrible in America then. And this man said, we survived the Great Depression. How can this little thing affect us that you are talking about? Within 7 days, plus him and his bank, they were sold. You understand? Because the things that are coming today, they are beginning to get universal in nature. There were career areas that people thought, oh, just put yourself in this one, you are sorted for life, no matter what happens. The last financial devastation that came touched everywhere, everybody. All the people that thought that were untouchable were touched. All the things that people put their trust in, everything broke right before our very eyes. Hallelujah. The devastation was universal in nature. And as believers, it is very easy for us to be tempted that, oh, okay, once we put our trust in something that the world also puts their trust in, then we'll be okay. And I tell you, right before your very eyes, things are changing. Things that we thought could not be affected are now beginning to get affected. And we are getting to that point where you just must know your Bible. You just must have a revelation of what God has said and what God has done for you to survive these times. Not only that, you must have a personal revelation that is not a corporate one. Oh, this is how we do in our church. That will not even carry you across what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here has to be rooted on the inside of you. God spoke to Noah that he should build an ark to escape the flood. Not to avert it. It was going to happen, but he was going to escape it. There are things that are going to happen today on the earth. They are happening. You cannot stop them from happening. But what God has provided for us is a way of escape. And that is why we are here, to study the Ark of the Covenant. So Noah was given a way of escape. And how was he given that way of escape? He was given a pattern, a design to follow, that build an ark. And in this ark, he said, pitch it. It means seal it. So it meant that Noah was going to construct an ark that will be sealed and protected, that will be insulated from the effects of the flood. Hallelujah. And one thing again about Noah's operation here was that we never heard that Noah attended a marine technology university. So he was given something to do that was not necessarily his natural expertise. He was asked to do something. He was just told, build it like this, build it like that. When the Titanic was built, it was the finest engineering technology that was employed. And when they finished building this thing, the people who built it were so proud of themselves and what they had done. And they said, this thing is so good that not even God can sink it. That's what they said about the Titanic. They said, this Titanic is so good that not even God can sink it. The very first voyage of the Titanic, we all know what happened. It struck common ice. God did not even turn up. It was only ice that turned up. And the Titanic went down. Do you understand? Noah, with no technology background, built an ark that survived the worst flood that ever happened in human history. Hallelujah. So what we are talking about here is not hinged on your expertise. Your expertise will fail. Your expertise will come to naught. But it is what God has told you as your escape formula that is going to stand the test of time. God told him, build an ark. And in that ark, he put his family, he put the animals, and the rain came and, you know, beat, and there was so much water, every other human being perished, every other living thing perished, minus Noah and his family and the animals that went with him into that ark. Now, it is a very good Bible story to tell kids, you know, that Noah built an ark, you know, it was like a boat, you know, and all that. But we want to see the spiritual significance of this ark. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God, so he was warned of God, he was told ahead of time, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So the gospel we are preaching on this Saturday has something to do with a preparation against something that is on its way. He says he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So we see that the building of this ark was to provide an escape and a rescue when the devastation turned up. Hallelujah. The devastation was so much. And let me tell you something about Noah's ark. When they were in that ark, they didn't just, you know, fold their arms, you know, and just, you know, put their legs up while the rain was going on outside. If you were inside that ark with them, it was scary. Do you understand? An ark that was sitting on the floor today, then the rain started, and it started floating all around the world. There's no guarantee that if they built the ark in grace, and when the water came and flooded the entire country, that ark, you will not find it in Guatemala. The Japanese thing that happened, some boats that were swept away, do you know where they found them? America. That's when the thing came up again, it was near America they found it, from Japan. That it sank in Japan, it came afloat in America. Hallelujah. That is to show you the sort of devastation we are talking about. He moved and he prepared that ark to the saving of his house. So even when you are involved with the ark, it's not only for yourself, but it's also for your house. It's also for your family. It's also for the people that you have influence over. Hallelujah. So it's very important. It was designed for rescue. That the floods are going to come, but you are going to be rescued. The floods are coming in your career world. They are coming. They are coming in every area. One day you just wake up and they say, oh, there's one new disease now. That cough, everybody has it. And then you are going to work. The other time they said it was swine flu. Oh, everybody here come, be taking jab, back. And I saw people in the office. I just thought, look, if you don't know the word of God, you will be swept to and fro. And I saw grown human beings with PhDs like chickens when they heard that swine flu was around. When are they bringing the vaccination? And I just thought, me, with all the 8 years you spent in school, common swine flu has come, and you are looking like, I just thought, man, it is not about your expertise. It is about the preparation of the ark to the saving of your house. Not one jab for me. Not one. As they say it, my jab is the communion. Once they start the news, I just get into my ark. And my ark is insulated. Flood cannot enter my ark. He says, seal it within and without. So there is a place in God where you can be insulated from what is happening on the streets. It will happen, no doubt about it. It's going to happen. But you can be insulated. And that is what we are here to discuss today. You can be insulated. So that was Noah's ark. It was designed to rescue. It was designed to insulate us. It was designed to save us from the impending doom that was coming. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things that gives me joy about being a believer is that it does not matter what they bring out today. God has already sorted me out even before I was born. He has already made the provision for you even before you were born. Hallelujah. This is not the first time that financial floods are blowing across the world. But he has already made an ark for you. And that is why we are studying these types and shadows. They survived. They came out without being flooded. The water did not consume them, because they followed a pattern of God in building the ark. Hallelujah. So they did not survive because of their expertise, but they survived because of the faith that they placed in what God provided, which was the ark. They believed that if they stepped into that ark, they will be saved. Can you try to imagine the drama? Just us here, we just come out one day and say, God said we should build an ark that is going to flood the entire world. Can you imagine how people will be laughing at us? I hope you know that God said himself and his family. I'm not sure if somebody else wanted to jump in, they could have said, don't come. But they were not there because they didn't believe it. Do you understand? He was building the ark, old man. Do you know how old he was when he built the ark? About 600 years old. Old man was building the ark. People would just be laughing that this guy has gone mad. When people are busy pursuing the flesh and you are staying on the word of God, feeding on the word of God, and people will just be looking at you that, boy, you don't know what you are doing. But when the floods come, you'll be insulated. And that is the mentality we are supposed to get out of this. That for every flood that is coming, there is an ark that God has provided. Step into it and be insulated from it. You don't have to be consumed by it, but God has already provided an ark. Let's look at the second type of ark that we can find in the Bible. And that's why I call Moses' ark. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2 verse 1. Exodus chapter 2 verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Do you know why she hid him? Because there was a decree around that time that, you know, children, you know, below the age of 2, or, you know, that were male below the age of 2 should be killed, you know, and all the rest. And verse 3 says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark. Can you see that expression again? An ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. So that was like a sealant, something to seal that ark. And put the child therein. So there was a container, an ark, or like a boat, or something that could float, and was sealed. And the Bible says he put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, let me tell you something about what they've done here. They put the baby, Moses, inside that ark, and then they left that ark to float, just float along on the river. Now, let us analyze it well. You have a son. What are you going to be doing with your son? Nurturing your son, taking care of your son, and bringing him up. Now, what are you doing here? You now build something that looks very flimsy, an ark. It is open at the top. Put the baby in it, and then leave it to float along the water. Don't also forget that in this river, it's possible for you to find snakes. It's possible for you to find alligators. It's possible for you to find crocodiles. It's possible for you to find leeches. So, those are all the possibilities. It wasn't just a swimming pool. This was a river. Anything goes in the river. So, that is where this child was put. And this child would have had no resistance against anything that was going to happen to it. Do you understand? The child would have had no resistance if an alligator tried to attack it. The child would have had no resistance if a crocodile tried to attack him. But the child was left in the ark by faith and floated along the river. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? It means that your outcome is not tied to how strong you are. The outcome of Moses was not tied to how strong he was, but it was tied to the solidity of what he was traveling in. Today you are looking at yourself and say, me, what do I have? I don't even have a university degree. No. It is not tied to how strong you are, but it is tied to how you are traveling and what you are traveling in. What are you traveling in? Hallelujah. The alligators, everything could have been there, but it was floating. And I tell you, the baby was unaware of what was going on. The baby was just smiling, or crying, as the case may be, without an awareness, an appreciation of the dangers and everything that was going on around him. Hallelujah. But was protected by the vessel in which he was traveling in. Many times we look at ourselves, we assess how strong we are, and then we arrive at a judgment. But stop doing that. You need to look at who you are traveling in whom we live and move and have our being, Jesus Christ. We are traveling in Jesus Christ. We are traveling because the ark corresponds to Jesus Christ. Under the new covenant, you look at the ark, you are looking at Jesus. So you are traveling with Jesus. And when you are traveling with Jesus, you are in charge and you are on top. And no matter what the flood is, you are going to escape. You are going to be insulated from the effects of it. Hallelujah. So that was the second mention of the ark. And you see that he was protected. He wasn't consumed. Even the women who put him there could not stand to take their eyes away, because they knew what they had done. They knew what they had done. They knew that humanly he wouldn't have survived. Hallelujah. But what happened? Pharaoh's daughter turned up and took the child, and then hired the same woman who put the child there to look after the child. You can't tell me that's not God. Hallelujah. When you are traveling in the ark of God, the wisdom that regulates your life is not one that human beings have a clue of. It's not one that human beings can unravel. That wisdom was God's. Hallelujah. Because it was a major crisis. If they found that child, they were going to kill that child. If the Egyptians found Moses at that age, they were going to kill him. And yet, Moses grew in the palace of the same man who gave the decree that they should kill all such children. Because if they found Moses with those women, Moses would have been killed. But Moses was put inside that ark for preservation. His life was preserved because he was put there. Because if he was not put there, Pharaoh's daughter would never have found him. Hallelujah. There is just something about traveling in the insulation of God, where you are insulated from what is going on. Yes, you can see what is going on, but you are insulated from the effects of what is going on the earth today. Hallelujah. So we've dealt with the first two arcs, the ark of Noah and the ark of baby Moses. The third one we look at before we take a break is the one in which they put the body of Joseph. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. Genesis 50, verse 24. Genesis 50 verse 24, it says, "And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Did you see that? "And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. The word coffin there in the Hebrew is also linked with the same Hebrew word that is used for an ark. But you see, Moses was going to die. His body was of no use to us when he died. The normal thing would have been for us to bury him. But he said, no, not in Egypt, that you are going to take me along, that you are going to carry my bones away from here. So they weren't going to bury him. So what they did was that they embalmed him for preservation and they put him in a coffin. And that coffin there was not to be buried, but that coffin was a place where they put him away into, because they were not really going to see those bones. They were not going to look at him, but they just put him away into the coffin and they closed it. Hallelujah. So here we're talking about something that is put away. We just put it in there and close it and forget it there and just leave it there. We know it is there. We remember it is there, but it is no longer participating with us. Joseph was dead, but his bones had been put away into the coffin. And when we get to the Ark of the Covenant, you will see the significance of this, of things being put away. Things being put away. You see, God put our sins away. The judgment that should have come to us, he put it away. You will see the significance of this. That when God says he has put something away, it means that it doesn't come up in your transactions with him again. When God says that he has put your sins away, then they are no longer a stumbling block in your life. And that was what they did. They put him away in that coffin and they closed it. And nobody discussed him again. Nobody dealt with him again. Nobody had any transaction with him again until the time came that they left Egypt. And if you go to Exodus chapter 13 verse 19, the Bible says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away. You shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Hallelujah. So this was, and if you go for the Hebrew word of that coffin, it actually means putting something away in death and preservation. So it was put away. And that word also comes from the same Hebrew word where you have an ark. So the first two arcs we looked at you being preserved alive in those two arcs. This other one we're looking at something being dead and being put away. So it means that it cannot disturb us again. It cannot have any effect on us again. Our only remembrance of it is that it has been put away. It has been locked up. It has been shut up in that coffin. It has been put away. Hallelujah. So we'll just take a break here and we'll come back at about 11:30 for the second session. Hallelujah.